Last time on Lawful Stupid.
Before you stands this massive temple.
What is this place?
This is where they keep time.
The entrance of the temple is adorned with intricate carvings. And so you guys push the door open. You find yourself in this vast chamber. As you're walking, the corridors themselves begin showing you glimpses of your own past, like very translucently across the wall.
I don't think I want to go down this corridor anymore.
Why not? We have to keep moving forward.
Darling, pretty sure these are our memories.
As you venture deeper, the chamber reveals its true nature. You've been moving through a labyrinth of time. You've seen your own past. You've seen your own history. You have seen so many different futures. You've seen your own headstone. But now before you, you see tucked in the center is this square object that you can walk towards. It's like this bridge suspended by nothing through the air. There's a doorway and it's open.
I don't hesitate.
You walk across this bridge and you walk through the threshold. And all you hear is silence.
You guys feeling good about this? You guys feeling good about your decisions?
I don't know. I don't remember what happened, to be honest. I'm trying to remember real hard.
You're not remembering that hard, Devin. Put down the fucking controller.
I've been trying to think about it. I was like, when
I can see
when do I ask watch him Devin. What's going on right now? I know there's something serious going on.
We're in a blank white space that's filling up with memories.
You have information they don't. Because there was a heads off.
No, I mean, I know what's happening to me, but then you head off all of us. I don't know if that's important.
I have no idea what's... I was not privy to anything.
That's true. So tell me what you do know and how you feel about it.
The last thing I know is that I was having some food...
Always. That's a good place to start.
I was having some food. Dude, the last note I have is gritty realism. That can't be right.
Oh, no, that's...
that's the wrong campaign.
That's from my therapist. Why don't you just remind me, Dwayne?
I don't
remember either.
I can. I was asking you how you felt about it, but it sounds like you guys don't remember. You had split the party three ways. Paul Barrow went alone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I also dropped leaves. Tusk, I want to make it known that I had some leaves with me, and I dropped...
I'd like to use my flashback.
Oh, yeah, now we remember. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. So, split through. I'm alone.
We all went different directions. I'm by myself.
Correct.
That's what I know.
I went with Toddy. There's crayon drawing on the wall.
You went with Toddy. And then Grand Magus went by himself too, so that's four. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. All right. Cool. So, now that you guys remember where you were, and you all had the walls actually provided you guys... fragments, but like little story bits, if you remember. Mm-hmm.
I do. Mm-hmm. I do remember that.
Good. Proud of you.
Did that happen to me?
It did, yeah.
Cool. I remember it too.
Yeah. It was so heartwarming and touching what you brought up. And like it really brought out Gus's like background. Not that he hasn't been, you know, because he's really been kind of bland until those moments.
Yeah, he needed some seasoning.
Yeah, you added the seasoning. Now, anyways, so we will smash cut to Gustum. You're walking. Right. You're walking through this winding chamber. The hallway. I mean, you've just experienced a roller coaster ride of imagery that you definitely remember. And before you stands a out of nowhere, as if it was instantaneous. There, an imposing figure stands before you, wrapped in a flowing robe that seems to shimmer with a kaleidoscope of colors. Its form is androgynous, bearing an air of timeless wisdom and enigmatic presence. Its skin is porcelain, like pale, smooth. It's almost as if it was untouched by the passage of time.
How close to my face are they when they suddenly appear?
About 15 feet away.
Okay, excellent. That wouldn't startle. That's not a jump scare. No, I was imagining like nose to nose.
It's a jump scare.
Oh, hey. What's up? You eat today?
And the Time Lord...
Time Lord? Fuck! The fucking Time Lord, right?
No.
Time after time.
Time after time. I was ready to be the fucking Time Lord, dude.
He has a screwdriver, I hope.
Yeah, Sonic.
He says, if you were to die today, do you know where you would go?
If you could pretend that you didn't hear that, that would
have
be
Have you
cool.
given your watch to the Time Lord?
That's his he fixes clots. He's a horologist.
Okay.
Wow. That's a lawful stupid blooper, if anything. When I say Time Lord and fucking Shane loses it and I'm just quiet. So the figure before you...
Just say Time Lord. Unless you're Reeves to Booty.
Could be anybody.
It might be Palmero, just in a case of some kind.
Could be some sort of Tire Lord.
And before you, three gems appear. Three different gems, all in cube form, almost. Like a very polished, rounded cube form. And there's three different colors... There's red, there's blue, and there is black.
Oh, no thanks. I kind of like everything that I've ever been confronted with in my life was like either a horror that I could comprehend or like pretty chill. So, like, I don't need any horrors I can't comprehend. I'm good.
Yeah, and so when you, like, blink naturally, he moves 5 feet closer in between your blinks.
I would really appreciate it if you would not do that. I just, I'm holding one eye open with my fingers.
Roll and the constitution blinks naturally. Throw.
You got it. I rolled an 8.
You hold your eye open for a good like 45 seconds to a minute before you have to just blink. And when you do, he's gone.
Oh. I look behind me and above me.
So you turn around and look behind you. He's not there. You're like, oh, what the fuck? You look up. He's not there.
Between my legs, though.
And so when you turn around to look to where he was originally, he's 5 feet from you.
Ah! How did you do that? Okay, bro. I got it. You have not eaten today. You are very hungry. Let me make you a sandwich. I start pulling bread out of the air of an interdimensional. There, oh, God, there's no doors here.
Oh, that's no. True.
It's just a white vacuum. How do I get to my pantry? Okay, I'm Gus.
So while Gus is attempting his conversation, we're going to move over to almost said not your character's name, Darlene and Declan. And you guys have just traveled, you know, you're still traveling through this corridor and following it. But before you, about 20 feet out, boom, appears the same Time Lord, the same porcelain figure, almost ageless in form. And he spreads his hands before you, and you see three cubed gems, and they are colored gold / bronze, red, and white, like a pearl, but there's a, what is the name of that white gem?
Eggshell. No.
Yeah, it's like eggshell. Oh, that's a good business card. But you get my point.
Hello. Just do a small wave to the new figure.
You get no response.
Look to Toddy for a sec. You see that?
Yeah. That's creepy.
Look back to figure. Are you lost? Do you need something?
You get no response.
Am I supposed to take one of those things?
So when you blink, in the span that you blink, he moves 10 feet forward, so he's 10 feet from you.
Okay. Yeah, sure. She'll walk up, see if anything happens, and then just goes to pluck the red one.
Darlene, you select the red gem. You select that cube and you pick it up into your hand. And it's almost like you are sucked into this gem. Your awareness in this white void changes. And you look around and you see the world is on fire. You can see your old traveling troop. Their wagons are aflame. And then you hear the sound of a metronome. Gus, before you stands a Time Lord holding three individual gems.
I'm going to try to, like, scoot past him.
Just start, yeah, you do. You're able to walk by him without issue.
Is there just a continued endless expanse beyond him?
No, like, you can scoot by him because you're in a corridor.
Oh, I thought it was an endless white void.
Mm-mm.
Okay. I'm in a hallway. Got it. Stone walls?
Yep.
Cool.
Well, yours are nicer because Paul Barrow had, like, the rough stone walls. Yours are more, like, smooth stone walls. Like, not... Like, someone took care to polish and even them out.
Okay. Not rough hewn. Okay. Yeah, if I could just squeeze by him...
You do.
I'll probably just keep on... I'd, like, look over my shoulder a couple times until I can't see him anymore, but...
Yeah, and you do that. You're able to keep walking, and you turn left and right, and you find yourself coming down this hallway, and boom, 30 feet out. There he is again. And he opens up his hands, and three cubed gems appear. One is like a bronze gold, one is blue, and one is black.
Okay, I take the black one.
Gus, when you take the black one, man, You see what it can only be described as your wildest dreams have came true. You are standing in a four-story tower, and you're looking out, and all you see is this kingdom that, like, it's just rolling hills of villages, and you can see the separating walls and stuff. And in your view, you can see the castle of the town, and below you can see essentially a dozen across the landscape that you can see, and they are these almost like panda-esque face signs, and it's the Panda Express franchise that you have just built up into the city and across the world, and you are just loaded, and you have all the money you want ever to travel and try new things and hire people to bring you special foods.
And there's two Mays?
And that's not what I said. Weird. And
you said my wildest dreams.
That's true. Your wildest dreams. There's a female version of Gus as well.
That's dope.
And then we go back to Darling. Your worldview shifts and you're back again. The Time Lord missing, and you're holding this red gem.
Well, that was not pleasant.
What was it?
Well, I saw the world on fire, and now I'm back here.
What color was the fire?
Red.
Okay, cool.
What? Should we be worried about fire being a different color?
I usually am, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just saying, we used to have another Derringer estate.
Well, that one wasn't on me, so blame somebody else.
Yeah, it was probably Kato.
It would not be Kato.
He had fire signature fingertips. Boy. It's not his fault.
In his butt.
And his butt.
In his butt. Yep.
Oh, weird. Okay, so the world's on fire.
And there's the sound of a metronome.
And then the sound of a metronome. Interesting. Okay. Does that hurt to touch?
It would. No.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to touch it anyway? You wanted to touch it because it hurt? Are you. Should I stand back? Are you some weirdo?
No, I didn't have a reaction. I just said, okay. I believed you. I validated your feelings, daughter. Isn't this what you wanted?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. All right, my turn. And he grabs it.
What is up? This is where everybody gets it from. You just grab it out of everybody's hand. That's just impolite.
As you're, like, talking to him, you notice he's got, like, this blank stare. And there's, like, red, like, flicker in his eye. And then he almost snaps back into it. And he goes, oh, no. Well, that was terrible.
Yeah, that's why we don't take things out of people's hands right out of the way. And then she'll take it back.
And then you have the vision.
That's where everybody gets it.
You do have the same eerie feeling as you pick it up.
I could put it in my pocket and keep on moving.
Yeah, and you guys continue to walk forward. And you guys walk forward for a while. Probably what feels like another couple hours, and there's zigzags and there's ups and downs. I mean, it's not like just a smooth trek, as it were. And then you eventually you make it through this path, and as you step forward, you see the truth of this temple. You see the secrets that it holds. As you look up and around on the ceiling and the walls, you can tell that it's a pattern. It almost looks like a labyrinth across the walls and the ceiling, and it's domed as such. And then as you turn around and look, it's almost like a trick of the eyes, but it's almost like you walked out of that labyrinth. And as you approach, or as you this image fills you, you can see Paul Barrow.
Hey, there you are.
Hey.
Gus, you're watching this world that you've created, and you hear the sound of a metronome. And you snap back, and there you're alone, and the Time Lord is gone, and you're holding this onyx looking gem that almost seems to pulse in your hand.
Okay. What happens if I set the cube down on the ground?
You can set it down on the ground.
I better take it with me. All right. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, and you walk for a few more hours, and there's winds and hills and valleys in this hallway that you're walking through. And then it's not long before you open to this expanse. Insert same description that Avon just got. And you see Darling, Paul Barrow, both kind of standing there. And as you approach, you can tell that, like, all that shit on the walls.
Oh, what's up, Cube Bros? You guys get sick cubes?
I didn't get one though, right? Yes. He wakes kind of from a stupor.
How did you get here?
What?
I took different path.
Yeah.
I also locked. Have red cube.
Red cube.
I look back for Toddy.
Oh yeah, Toddy's with you.
Okay, making sure.
What happened to Grand Magus?
Fuck.
I have not seen him.
He probably fell to the temptations of the cubes.
I did not get cube. Will you find these in tunnels?
They say they're only given to the biggest, strongest brothers. I don't know.
I also count as a brother.
And biggest.
She'll show off.
God,
the cube.
Gosh dang
biggest
it.
Biggest brother.
Even sister, bigger, stronger brother than me.
She'll not.
What is this temple of sure. truth that make no sense?
Temple of truth that hurt Paul Barrow's feelings.
Whole place built to make me cry.
All right, so we're down one super powerful wizard. Dad's here. Bro and sis. I guess we just keep going.
We're getting nowhere, it seems.
Do you guys see the Time Lords?
No.
I saw a weird person, yeah.
Yeah, the weird dude. I don't know why I called him a Time Lord. I just kind of get the guy that vibe from weird. Him, you know?
Mm, ultra magical kind of vibes.
Yeah, just power.
It was weird. Every time Gus says Time Lord, you hear bacon. No, I'm just kidding.
Bacon!
So as you guys are looking around, you're seeing this big, essentially, labyrinth that you've all walked. It's almost like out of the fringe of your vision appears what can only be described as like a shine. Like that you would see like on a window as like light bounces off of it. And then you can see through that glass, perhaps. And it's, you see what can only be described as like a room made of the refraction of light. But you can see shelves and things on the shelves, and it's almost like it's a a longer trophy room because there's so many like knickknacks and stuff on the shelves, and that's just what you guys can see from here, and that's 30 feet away.
Whoa, that is freaking pretty looking.
Let's go touch everything.
Let's go touch everything.
Do we feel like a draw to it, or is it just...
I'm drawn to it.
I would like to know. Okay, I'm going to use my thing. And honestly, this I don't know if this is going to be any different, but I can determine like if there is like a strong magic other than like time magic. Is there a different type of magic that is I'm sensing here?
You are sensing with that ability, you know all the types of magic and stuff like that. You would also know that there is a type of magic that it feels identical across these different magic items, and essentially you would know that these magical items have the same pull and allure, the magical attraction that the artifacts were known to have.
So like a kind of school would, I mean, it'd be the same, right? I guess as far as just like what do you call it, chronomancy?
No, I mean, I wouldn't even give it a school because it's a homebrew thing. Like, if you remember, if Paul Barrow remembers, in one of the tales of the Guardians of Goron, they would talk about artifacts and their power and the draw and the allure of them. Yeah. And that's what you would be feeling.
Is it similar to the claws that I wore?
Exact same feeling.
I'm gonna grab Gus by the shoulder as I see him like sort of like licking his lips on those.
Oh dude, they got like a shiny spatula in there.
No, these bad feeling. Remember when I attacked you with claws?
How could I forget?
It gave me boost of power, want to fight. This the same thing. No good.
Oh, corrupting. Yeah. Okay.
Is Tiny Dancer trying to go that way too? Is she?
Yeah, she's already moving.
He's gonna grab other shoulder too.
I grab both of Dad's hands, and I hold them in front of me so I can see them at all times.
Wait, is he facing you or is he
I pull him in front of me.
I think he was walking and he gets yanked and he's just like, "Gus, what you doing?"
Nothing. What you doing? I just missed you.
He like grabs you back. Oh, I missed you too.
We don't spend time like this enough, you and I. We should just hang out here for a minute.
No, you're right, we don't, but it seems like a weird time to do this.
No,
but,
I think it's a really good time, actually.
Listen to me.
Yeah?
We don't need to touch anything. It is a test, maybe, but I feel like touching these things might be bad.
No offense, Pops, but you're kind of like a touch first, ask questions later kind of guy.
If it's a thing that feels like it wants you to touch it, don't touch it, but you can touch the other things.
Okay, we can touch the things that feel like they don't want us to touch.
Yes, they will tell you. You can
if it doesn't feel like it's consent, should do it. Okay, got it.
I'm just going to watch
that. That's the real awful stupid message.
Like a hawk.
Ask it if it can be touched.
It's a noise the items make, not a feeling you have, Paul Barrow.
The wand chooses the wizard, Paul Barrow.
Yeah, Paul Barrow.
There's nothing else to do. Can we go that way?
Okay.
All right, we're just gonna shuffle along here, Pops.
Yeah, so you guys...
you're holding him. He's holding his father behind his back. He's still walking forward, and you're behind him, and his arms are extended while you hold him.
I almost thought of them more like walking side by side, holding each other's hands.
No, the important thing is that these hands aren't leaving my eyesight because I feel like he's tricky.
He ruins everything.
So like I'll be holding onto his wrists, and I'll look off his hands, and like one of his hands will pop off, and it'll be like, "Go get him, man."
He's like a poo, and he's just like grabbing the giant red diamond.
Yes. I'm not letting a Fuji grab the giant red diamond. It's not happening. I think it's a ruby is what you call those.
His hand comes off.
So you guys walk through this massive chamber. Massive is not the right word, but this large chamber. And it's almost like the top is like shimmering. And it almost looks like glass, like the ceiling. But the sides of these walls, they're spaced about 20 feet apart. And it's this long corridor that you're walking down. But as you're walking down, you're seeing just rows and rows of these artifacts. I mean, just so many. And some that stand out. There is a pair of like gritty, rough iron spatulas laying aside.
That doesn't seem specific to a character.
Actually,
there's a giant two-handed whisk.
There's two other artifacts. One of them. No.
One of them is a luchador mask. But,
yeah.
And a set of nine tails.
I was going to say the other one is like a Father's Day card.
He's like, no. Don't touch that. Dad's like, don't touch that.
So as you're walking, you see a bunch of different variations, but some that you see that stand out are what you have seen in pictures and art to be the Maw of Andron. You see like a jewelry stand where it's a single pole that stands and off hangs another pole that you can hang necklaces on, and they're next to each other, and it's almost like they go back and forth as the two halves of the heart of Andron naturally pull to each other. And then, you know, you see just a smattering more. You see swords, you see shields, you see like wolf heads. You see a lot of different artifacts, and one of the last few that you see that you would recognize is this glacial wand, almost like a piece of ice, like an icicle. And as you guys are ending your walk through this hallway, you end in this 30-foot-wide. Nah, it's bigger, it's larger, it's almost like a trophy room, right? You've been in this gala of trophies. This is a bigger one. It's maybe 80 feet in diameter. So not too big, but still pretty fucking large. And in the center is a large pedestal. And on that pedestal, there spins the fucking loot of went. There spins this ball that's almost like a collection of gears and sprockets, and it just seems to be kind of rotating above the pedestal.
So I'm back there holding these two spatulas, and I'm just practicing my hibachi. I'm hibachi.
Yeah, so you can't if you actually try to get to any of the artifacts, they're all encased in time itself. So like when you go to hit them, they don't move. Like when you go to grab them, they don't move, they don't shuffle. Even the heart of Andron, when you go to touch it, it's like you're touching whatever version of it when you grab it, and then it stops, and then when you let go, both sides keep going, but if you grab one, the other one stops.
All right, is that thing we're looking for?
Yeah, that totally fits in that cradle for sure.
Let's do this.
So Paul Barrow just goes up and grabs it?
Yeah.
So before you're able to grab it, before you're able to grab it, you get about 10 feet away from the altar, and boom, the Time Lord appears.
Is this the guy you all saw earlier? That
yeah, that's Cube Bro.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, great Cube Bro.
He's not hungry.
And so he appeared before me, just like he did everybody else. Right?
Yep, just instant.
And how tall? How big is he? He's like floating, I imagine. Is that what you?
He's standing. He's been standing this entire time. And he seems to be large for, you know what I mean? Like, in the sense
for
that
me,
he's tall.
For Paul Barrow, I get it. Everyone here
is
bigger.
He's about 7 feet. Oh, okay. Seriously, but he's just a
okay.
Yeah, he's not meant to be like, oh, it's the biggest thing. He's just is a taller figure.
I will, I kind of bow my head to him a little bit and kind of look up, like it's slowly eyes peeking back up to look at him.
And when you do that, he takes his hands and he spreads them palm up. And both hands, and in one hand, you see like an hourglass, and like sand is dripping, and then you'll see it like shift, and then it'll keep drifting the other way, never fully emptying either direction. And the other one is a set of scales. Like an intricately carved set of scales as they kind of shift and move slightly, as they're constantly balancing to the world and the movement of it, you see all these little gears and sprockets and like very intricate work is articulating itself as this happens.
Do I take one of these from you? Guys, do you see this?
Yeah, he won't leave you alone until you do, bro.
So I have to take...
Yeah,
I take
them? He's pretty adamant about it.
Do you see the things he's holding? Or is that just a me thing?
No, I see them.
No, you guys all see it.
Yeah, I see him. What's up?
Usually I would pick a thing, but it seems like this is pretty important. Which one should I pick?
I just picked one at random, bro.
Whatever one calls to you.
Okay, good question. I stare at them kind of a few seconds both. Do either one of them call to me?
No.
Mostly we've got the...
Not like magically effect. If you have some tie to either of those symbols for any reasons.
But I didn't improv right now. Let's see.
Use a flashback.
Yes.
That time I really loved Hourglass.
But Dwayne, I want to give you the power over my flashback. If you want to do that. I don't know. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I don't know if this could be helpful for you.
Okay.
So you can have that. If you want to weigh in on what I pick.
Well, so normally with the flashback, the whole point is to get you out of a situation.
Yeah, I want it to help me. Like, can we do it? Because it just gives me a benefit now, like for later on in the story. Maybe like that can be like prepare an attack. Prepare for the
no. So, well, here's what I'm offering you. If you are wanting to burn your flashback to get a memory around these, so I like choose the lesser of two evils or the greater of two riches, I don't think that's a good use of your flashback, because I'm basically like picking for you. When honestly, you could roll a d4 and do odd or even if you don't have like a direction.
So I guess my question would be like, there's nothing very necessarily important about these things right now. I guess
not to Paul Barrow. I mean, unless I can't speak for Paul Barrow, but they're not like magically pulling at you. There's no like callback that I'm trying to force you to. I'm giving you two images and imagery and descriptions, and I'm expecting you to choose one.
I will then pick.
I'm gonna both hands kind of slowly go out and like see if he's like making any moves closer and closer.
You'll notice that as you try to do both at once, it's almost like the air gets thicker. And eventually you're unable to physically grab both.
Okay. I'm going to go scales.
So you put your hand on the scales.
Yep.
Roll me a strength saving throw, please.
Strength saving. 27.
as you grab the scales with a 27 and you pull them down, there's like a burst of energy that releases from the Time Lord, and you slide back like 5 feet. Roll initiative.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody?
Everybody. Everybody in the room.
Everybody, everybody, everybody living now.
Roll that initiative. No. I got a 6.
Yeah, just say, Abram, what'd you get? All right.
Gus rolled a strong 10, middle of the pack 10.
Okay.
And Palmero rolled a strong middle of the pack 10.
Who's got higher dex?
Probably him.
I have plus 2.
Yeah, mine's a 1.
All right. You have 9 on the board.
Wow. Okay.
And then,
I mean, how's the Time Lord not going to go first? It'd be weird if he was like, I'm the Time Lord and late for this encounter.
Yeah, that's true.
This is where we all die, and I clearly asked Dwayne if I should. I want to use a thing. Which one is worse? Unless it's just the fight, it's both. Dwayne, did I grab? I have the thing in my hands, you said, yes?
Yes.
Smack him with the scales.
The Time Lord does go first, ironically enough. But
I knew he would.
Yeah, the rolls were so bad.
It's in his name. He's got built-in plus 100 to initiative.
That's true. All right. So the room around you shifts, and you find yourself within the depths of a chamber. The air kind of crackles with an otherworldly energy, and space around you seems to be distorted. In the air itself, where the walls were, you can see flashes and imagery of memories of yours. Some you recognize, some you don't. And it's important to note, and I'm too lazy to describe it, you're all seeing different memories. So Gus, Paul Barrow, and Avon, you're all seeing the walls covered with your own memories. Some you recognize, some you don't. Gus, Darlin, and Paul. Did I fuck it up?
You called Darlin Avon. It's not a big deal.
Damn it.
She's the same person. They are one.
I mean, if Avon doesn't want it to happen, she'll stop wearing glowing fox ears to the recording.
That's fucking true. So yeah, that's what you guys see. And yeah. Cool. And the three of you are kind of together, and there is this dome that appears around the three of you guys. And you just feel the air shift. And until the start of its next turn, the Time Lord, any creature other than itself in that dome will have disadvantage on saving throws for spells cast by the Time Lord.
It's a 30-foot dome centered around him?
No, it's centered around you three, a location of which he chooses.
Okay.
Yeah, and it only is for one turn.
Got it.
And so he is going to... Fuck yes, I forgot I put this in here. It's been a minute. All right. Don't worry about me. I just got real excited. Okay, I need all four of you, because technically Declan is standing next to you guys.
Oh, yeah.
To make a wisdom saving throw.
With disadvantage.
Oh, wait, hold on. Not all three. Damn it. That would have been too cool. Instead of all three, we'll say Paul Barra, since you picked up the scales.
What's really that?
And you can roll it flat. You don't have to roll it with disadvantage.
Okay, it's a 16.
All right, let's check.
is save.
All right. So yeah, with a 16, you fail your saving throw against modify memory.
Very cool.
You are now incapacitated and unaware of your surroundings. Though you can still hear the Time Lord. If you take any damage or you're targeted by another spell, then the effect ends. While the charms lasts, the Time Lord can affect your memory of an event that you experienced in the last 24 hours. And it lasted no more than 10 minutes. And so the event that I'm going to alter in Paul Barrow's mind is that when you were saving Declan Derringer from the prison, if you'll remember, gang, Gus stood back in the wings and was like, "Nah, fuck all that. I'm staying here. Daddy's over here." Paul Barrow, what you remember now is that Gus actually fought you to save Declan, in the sense that he actually crossed through the portal and was contesting you trying to save Declan.
In terms of like he tried to stop me, or he was the one who wanted to
do it? He tried to stop you. No, he tried to stop you from saving Declan.
Okay, just so I can be sure, with incapacitated, that means I can't take actions or reactions.
Correct.
Until I'm injured?
Until you're injured or targeted by another spell.
Okay.
And then let's make sure there's no get out of it. No, there's not like a save, so it's going to be like that until somebody stops it.
So I can play this character right then. What is Paul Barrow thinking? Like when you do incapacitate to someone, now what is my thought process about what is
going
on?
Like I said, right now you can only hear the Time Lord.
Okay, so I'm
you're
just
unaware
kind of
your surroundings.
Okay.
So what you're hearing and experiencing is that memory again, with the Time Lord providing narration. In like a storybook narration, but he's painting Gus out to be the villain.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so you're incapacitated. Let's see. Yeah. That will be all he does on his turn. And we'll say he's 5 feet from Paul Barrow, and then you guys aren't far from it. You'd be 30 feet at the most. I'll let you pick how close you are because you're in the bubble. And so next up, we're going to have Gus.
Call and response. Sprout, you got Paul?
Sure.
Yeah, because he's definitely frozen in time. Like, you guys can see that he's not moving. Like, the hair on his body is not moving. He's essentially placed in a time stop.
Cool. With that call and response, I'm going to book it 30 feet to I'm basically going to be skirting 30 feet to the left to get out of the bubble.
Yeah, and it's a noticeable feeling. The air shifts as you get out of the bubble.
And
so
then
you're able to do that without an issue.
Gus is going to take a big, deep breath, and you can see like his whole body kind of expands with this breath, and then you hear like a bubbling from his gut. And then I'm going to unleash the withered undead dragon's necrotic breath attack.
Oh, sick.
So that's going to be a 30-foot line, 10 feet wide, pointing right at the Time Lord, who must make a Constitution saving throw.
Okay.
DC 15.
Saving throw.
Oh no, I moved off of the dice to go look up Modify Memory again.
What a terrible thing. The die should always just be in the corner. What a missed opportunity. Alright. And that's a Constitution saving throw?
Correct.
Alright, let's see. He got a 16. What'd you say the save was?
It is 15. You succeed and take 17 points of necrotic damage.
Ooh.
That's half.
That's
a 30,
pretty
half,
good.
Half of 35, that's 17, right?
Yeah, that's right. You right.
Big so, roll. Big so roll off that.
Gus, yeah, Gus, you hear the bubbling, and then there's this roar as you pour out this noxious, like, dark energy as it flies forward. It's almost like seeing if you've ever seen torrential rain where it's just like
I was imagining like a sandstorm but with smoke.
Yes, that's perfect. It just pours over the Time Lord, and you can only see the outline of where like this sand, black sandish smoke is pouring over him, and that's where we'll end the episode.
I love the fog clear moment, like the fucking wait for the smoke to clear. That's one of my favorite moments. So I'm looking forward to that next episode.
Hell yeah. All right, Shane.
Mm.
Shane.
Can I ask a personal favor to not do that anymore?
Dang it.
Yeah.
There was just a guy that I hated that used to do that constantly.
Oh, that sucks.
A particular E7 in the United States Army.
You know
actually,
who you
Sergeant
are.
Sergeant First Class Ninkovich, if you're listening, fuck you. You're a piece of shit.
He probably is. Keep that in.
Yeah, that's he not going to be what gets day. Us canceled.
I loved you guys.
So,
he did think I was like
if
his best friend.
If that's the line. If that's the line people are drawing, I think we're okay. All right, cool. Roll for humanity, Shane.
Oh, yeah. Cats?
Cat Depot.
Cat Depot. Cats need your help, dude. Cats are out there, and they're, like, really important to people. The comfort creatures in our lives can do wonders for our mental health and by extension, our physical well-being. So it's important these cats are rehomed so that they can help some stupid humans.
Facts.
Mm-hmm.
Roll it.
I've rolled a 2.
Okay.
So $2 from us and infinity.
Yep.
From everyone who's taking participation.
From everyone else giving $2 as they hear this. Go give $2 to Cat Depot.
Well.
My favorite
that's
time.
That's a funny Gus, like Gus with like smoke piling out of his mouth. I threw up.
Oh no!
I threw up.
Okay. So, well, that's not gonna fly. My bad. I looked at my notes, and that's gonna get us canceled. That's not good either. All right, cool. So let's just do this one then. It's not the best one. But why did the bard become a baker in D&D?
Why did the bard become a baker in D&D? I don't know.
Because they wanted to roll some sweet rolls.
That's cute.
Excellent.
I'm undecided.
Shane, tell me a funny ass dad joke.
You know, I'm really afraid of elevators. And I was talking to my therapist about that. And I was like, hey, what should I do about my crippling fear of elevators? And you know what they told me?
Handle it on every level.
Nope.
Damn.
Rise to the occasion.
Nope.
take the stairs.
Yeah, basically, they said that I should take steps to avoid them.
Nice. That's good. Devin, tell me a funny-ass joke.
So, I was talking to my wife the other day, and she turns to me and, like, kind of with, like, a sweet face says, "What starts with F and ends with K?" And I was like, "No, it doesn't."
That was good. Avon, tell me a joke.
What's an astronaut's favorite part of the computer?
Space key, baby.
Microchip?
Dang it, that's good. Yeah, it has to be space key. It's not the dumb joke. What is it?
Well, basically the space key. Space bar.
Yeah,
space bar.
I'll take either.
I'll take either. You failed, Shane.
Sign my document, Avon.
I'll send them right over.
Lost the packet. It was lost in the ether.
Oh, all fax, no printer.
Okay, cool. Well, Devin, we love you. No, as we always you. Say,
shaped like honeycombs.
We love you.
We love you. You. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Question mark.
What are those bees making over there?
You in here. It's a bee hole. Is this a bidet? You guys, is this a bidet, everyone? Or is it just my butthole? Okay. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, guys, is anyone here? Is it just my butthole?
You should probably go get it checked out.
Oh, yeah. Stop. Let me stop recording.